Today, on Abounding Grace, we are reminded to be like the psalmist and have a great confidence in God.
Death could not separate him. Nothing could separate him. The Lord is present with us. And already you see how foolish it is, which the Psalms constantly describe, how foolish it is to put your trust in somebody, something else. Gods that cannot speak, idols that cannot talk, that cannot comfort, that cannot help. But this God can. The Lord cares. And the Lord wants you to know that he doesn't leave or forsake. Regardless of circumstance, he desires this kind of confidence.
And it is that kind of confidence we hope to instill in you today as we study God's Word together on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Let's catch up with him in Psalm 139, shall we?
This is the Word of the Lord. To the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Oh, men of blood, depart from me! They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And there ends the reading of God's Word. Well, it's important tonight as we reflect on the second part of this psalm to remember somewhat the setting and the purpose for which we looked at this morning, this psalm is given, and what the psalmist is asking of the Lord in the midst of these great reflections of God's attributes and his goodness. And as I hinted at this morning, it seems to me that something has happened to the psalmist, that at one time something was trustworthy for him in life that was then taken away from him, and it no longer was a source of strength for him, and it became a source of falsehood for him. He seems to be being spoken against. But I can't say any more than that, and most likely that's sheer just a reflection of the content of the Psalms and the Psalms that come before and after, for we're not really given much detail as to the precise circumstance that led to this particular Psalm. I think you do get some of that in the midst of this moment in the psalm that shocks everyone, don't you? It's a shocking moment when he says, slay the wicked, O God. Where did that come from? What led to that? We don't know too much beyond this, but I do know, and I do think we should take with us tonight, that whatever the psalmist is facing, the real source of strength and encouragement for him is the knowledge of God's attributes. It's a knowledge of who God is and what God has been like to the psalmist, which is the very thing that we struggle with. Is God for me or is God against me? It's always the question that people go through and struggle. And he is comforted in light of whatever he's facing that God knows everything. That God has exhaustive knowledge of it all. That it's not escaped him. That the Lord is the all-powerful one. And the psalmist is describing for us just how safe he feels in that knowledge. The Lord has hemmed him in this truth. It's a beautiful image that the Lord, in the truth of who God is, has preserved him and provided a shield around him. It's the truth that has guarded his heart and his mind of who God is. And what an assurance of faith comes out here, because you can't say what he says. You can't grasp what he has grasped unless you have some kind of assurance in this life and can have assurance in this life that God is for you and that God knows you and that you are known by him and that that is something given to you from heaven. Do you think when Jesus said to Peter, after Peter had confessed him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not given that to you, but my Father has given that to you in heaven." Do you think he said that so that nobody else would have that kind of assurance? It's the same kind of thing here. Blessed are you if you have this kind of perspective of the wonderful attributes of God and what they mean for you. That's a gift. That's a gift. And here we see that such a life here is what God wants for us. that's marvelous, isn't it? God wants us to live this way. God wants us to enjoy him this way. Here's God putting on himself on display that he wants us to have full assurance of faith in his Son. For being hid in him, this is the life that he has for us. So that we can say that these things are true for us too. That we, like the psalmist, would leave today standing in complete awe and admiration of the Lord, the one whose attributes and sovereignty have been put on display before us and whose power stands above all other earthly powers. The psalmist is relishing in these attributes, and we studied the first two this morning of what he brought out, his omniscience, that he knows everything, and his omnipresence, that he's never alone, that God is always with him, wherever he goes. This was a source of wonderful comfort for David. He was overwhelmed to think that God knew everything exhaustively about him, his choices in life, all the words he would speak, every thought he would have, and that he had received from the Lord a kind hand and a strong arm of deliverance. That God had hedged him in. That God loved him. And this is what he had received. He then moved on to God's omnipresence, that there was no circumstance in life. There was no circumstance, there was no place that he could go that God was not with him. And all the way he described the greatest situations that we could imagine that would seem to bring the greatest amount of separation from God, and not even those separated him. Not even height nor depth. It could not separate him from the love of Christ. Death could not separate him. Nothing could separate him. The Lord is present with us. And already you see how foolish it is, which the Psalms constantly describe, how foolish it is to put your trust in something else. Gods that cannot speak, idols that cannot talk, that cannot comfort, that cannot help. But this God can. The Lord cares. And the Lord wants you to know that he doesn't leave or forsake. Regardless of circumstance, he desires this kind of confidence. And so after thinking about his omniscience and his omnipresence, the psalm now turns to God's omnipotence, his exceeding great power, if you will. David now traces for a few moments here, a few verses, this power and the whole display of it from the very beginning of his existence, all the way even to his own death, which is not an end of existence. Look at verse 13. For you formed me. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Your eyes, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written of me, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. What a reflection, isn't it? How do you take that in? How do you process that? That is overwhelming. Maybe we feel a little bit as sinners. God could not really care that much about us. It's got to be somewhat of a struggle to say, as David, that can't be me. Isaiah would remind Israel, he has been merciful to you. He knows you. He knows your weaknesses. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud all your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I've redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord. I make everything. Who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. I knew you. I formed you. And I made all this. The psalmist is mesmerized and rejoicing that God has demonstrated so much power, so much knowledge, all of it culminating, that he has even determined the whole course of his life. You still can't help but think of Jesus in all of this, can you? If the Psalms are about him in many ways, you can't help but to see so much of him. When we read of him praying, and we read of him praising, and we read of the devotion of Christ, we clearly see here it's these truths that he knew and perceived and understood, that when he walked on this earth, he understood his own Father's love for him. And it's based in that this is all true for us if we have him. Your thought about how profound this is. As a response, like Psalm 71, upon you I have leaned before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. He's all the way back, realizing that God had known him, that God had formed him before he had any knowledge of God, before he knew a thing. We live in fret and worry about everything, don't we? Fret and worry about everything. Life, health, having a long life. We worry. And do you see how all of that is just being extinguished by the attributes of God, by the power of God, by a knowledge that he doesn't change, by a knowledge that he knows everything, by a knowledge that he had already, before it was even marked out, determined the course of your life. Saying, I'm always present. Three things he said so far. I'm all knowing of you. I'm always present with you. And by my power, I formed you, created you, and gave you all the purpose that you need. And who you would be, and what you would accomplish. That I am an object of God's creative power and care. God didn't willy-nilly do this. You know, it's really a marvel of how many people pass by us every day. And they're the ones you notice, aren't they? The ones who are the prestigious and the notable and the strong and the wealthy and those whom society values. Think about all the people who pass by you who are nobodies. All the people who have nothing. All the people who you would say they amount to little in this life. If they are a believer and know the Lord looks at them with this kind of care and love and sheltering presence. He loves them. Remember what he said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I consecrated you. I appointed what you would go do." He'd be a prophet. Psalm 139, David is thinking with redeemed eyes of life. Life itself as a gift from God, all of it. And all of it's determined. The days, where we go. Remember, Paul would say this when he preached in Acts. That even the boundaries of where you're going to live is marked out by God. He has chosen that. He's chosen the days to a T to when you live. I know I talk too much about my situation, but I think about this. This is the greatest comfort for me with my father. As I see him suffer right now, it comforts me to think God already has this perfectly determined and that he has marked out his days and that there's a purpose. He is caught up in this. David is caught up in this. What has overwhelmed him is how powerful God really is, that as a master craftsman, forming us in the womb, making us, he says, skillfully wrought, skillfully formed by the hand of God, creative power. You look at a newborn baby that comes out. I remember when that first happened, I was dazed and confused by the whole thing, trust me. There's that baby you put in the palm of your hand. David knew nothing of embryos and cells. Every little baby is made of microscopic cells so small that if you were to write the letter G, as one pastor noted, the size of the letter would contain 30 to 40,000 of these cells. Every cell has 200 trillion little tiny molecules. It's like a little micro universe. The body has 35 trillion, they argued, maybe more of these. Every minute, 3 billion cells die in your body and are replaced. He's sustaining your life constantly. Every minute. Did you hear that? 3 billion die and are replaced. Everything firing together, everything working the way that it should so that you're here tonight and can hear and see. His power. I suppose you just have to say, what a tragedy that we kill babies, isn't it? Worst thing I have to say right now. Look at the human race, what we do. Everything the scripture tells us is that God is forming in the womb. Conception. Life begins. David is in awe. Think of his creative power holding together all this. I've read this before. But as another noted, on a clear night, you can see 10,000 points of light. A few of these are planets of our solar system that shine by reflected light. Thousands belong to the special grouping of stars known as the Milky Way, to which our sun belongs. Other thousands are entire galaxies which shine at one point because they're so distant. We say 10,000 points because that's what we can see with our unaided eyes, but these 10,000 are only the tiniest fraction of existing stars. A typical galaxy contains billions of individual stars. Our galaxy alone contains 200 billion stars, but that's only ours. There are thousands of others visible to the naked eye, and billions more that you can go up on Palomar Mountain and look at with that telescope. The distance from one edge on average galaxy to the other edge is approximately 600,000 trillion miles. The average distance from one galaxy to another is 20 trillion miles. This is where David is. You know, sometimes in our computer world, in our screen world, we don't even look up past the roof, right? God did this. And he concludes, and he's thinking here, that this God, whose wonderful attributes has been put on display, considers me for my individuality in the womb. God knew and ordained my life. God gave me life. And God mapped out the course of life. Your eyes, verse 16, saw my substance. Unformed substance. In your book were written of me, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. God just doesn't create and depart. He's always there, unchanging, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent from the womb. Everything marked out to the very course where the psalmist says, verse 18, when I awake, I'm still with you. You can take that as sleep if you want. Puritans used to say that every night we go to sleep, it's a kind of death, and we wake up in the morning to a new life. But I take it as real death, that it is like that, that it's real death, but it is like awakening in the Lord's presence. You're here, and then you're there, because you're still with Him. This has left the psalmist in powerful praise, awe of God, thoughts so precious. They are just so precious to me, O Lord. Great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the sand. You see, what's happened kind of makes all of our little worries here pretty small, doesn't it? It makes us pretty small. Now at this point, then, we come to the intent, one of the intents of the psalm. What does that knowledge do for somebody? What should it do? Well, it makes somebody, I would hope, immensely thankful. Right? Hope they're thankful for that. But how would that show? It motivates the practical purpose of their psalm. This is a very practical psalm. The knowledge of an understanding of God's powerful protection in life, His intimate care, His involvement with us, His care, and the gift that He would give us, that He would give His Son to die for us. It doesn't leave us non-responsive. It doesn't leave us apathetic. It drives us to what? You ask, well, how would I appreciate this? How would it show? What would be the greatest way I could show that I'm really thankful that God has brought me to this kind of understanding of salvation and His love and His preserving care? Many people ask God for many things, don't they? If God came to you and said, what do you want? Ask of me anything you want. He did to Solomon. Ask, what shall I give you? Lord, you have made me your servant king instead of my father, but I'm a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered and counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. I'm a king, that I may discern good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? This speech pleased the Lord. But Solomon asked such a thing. And God said, because you've asked this, and have not asked for long life for yourself, and that you've not asked for riches to make your name great, that you've not asked for the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I've done according to your words. I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall there arise anyone like you after. If God were to ask you tonight, in light of His omniscience, His omnipresence, and His omnipotence that He's put on display that you know in your life, what would you ask Him? What does a thankful heart who has a knowledge of this ask God for? He's inviting you. That's what the psalm is inviting you to do.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us, if you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Also, a brief reminder in closing out our time together today, the URC Church here in Escondido, where Pastor Chris Gordon serves, will be the host for a regional Ligonier conference called If the Foundations Are Destroyed. That'll take place May 13th through the 14th. You know, sometimes it can seem that Christians are standing on unsteady ground while the world seeks to dismantle those foundations of our faith. Compromise threatens the church from within. In times of turmoil, Scripture reminds us where our true security lies, in our sovereign God, whose throne can never be moved. So that's what this conference is all about. Our keynote speakers include W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and our own Pastor Chris Gordon. Again, that is May 13th through the 14th. Simply go to ligonier.org and click the menu tab. Scroll down to events and you'll be able to learn more and register for the conference. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.